Okay, let's begin. Today we're going to continue our discussion of why we light Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. It's part two. Last week we discussed the union of, we touched upon some of the union of lighting Ner Chanukah, the location and the Zman, and why we do so. So I wanted to continue this discussion. The first thing, let's discuss the bracha, making the bracha. We touched upon this many times, but here is the this is the real sugya. The Ner Chanukah is considered to be the quintessential minhag for one simple reason. According to all opinions, well, not all, but virtually all opinions, 99% of the poskim tell us that when we do light Ner Chanukah, the Beis HaKnesses, we make a bracha. The only competitor for this minhag is Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but the Ramah Mechaber, that we are so accustomed to making a bracha for Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, is only according to the Ramah. The Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, says that you do not make a bracha when you recite Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So that means that but even the Ramah, even the Mechaber, that does not allow us to make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, does allow us to make a bracha for lighting the Ner Chanukah. So the Ner Chanukah is one up over Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. You make a bracha, which is very disturbing, because nowhere in Chazal is there any makar in the Talmud. Is there any makar with the Midrashim? For that Talmud or Midrashim, for that matter, is there any source that one should light a Ner Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses? Ton Rabbanan, my Chanukah, the Gemara goes on to say Chanukah is Ner Ish Ubeisai. It's a mitzvah that was enacted for the Bayis, not for the Beis HaKnesses. So this, we want to do a nice thing, we want to light the Beis HaKnesses, you want to go put a nice electric Chanukah menorah in the window of your store, okay, no one's making a bracha. If you have a store, you put an electric menorah in your store, no one's making a bracha. But to light the Beis HaKnesses, the bracha, this is an extreme abuse of halacha. How are you allowed to make hayah? But that's the minhag. So all of the mefarshim, they struggle. They really, really struggle and sweat. Why is it that you're allowed to make a bracha for Ner Chanukah according to all opinions, whereas even a chatzi halal, you only make a bracha according to the minhag of Ashkenazim, the Ramah. So there are a different number of answers. Now one answer, I didn't see this here today. I saw this a while ago. I don't remember where I saw this. Is that a minhag? It's a very interesting idea. A minhag that was accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael is different. It qualifies for a bracha. Most of the minhagim that we are familiar with, if you'll just look a little bit, you'll find that not everyone does it. If you have a minhag to eat on Rosh Hashanah, to eat a certain type of a fruit or vegetable, go a few blocks in the neighborhood, you'll find another family that's not their custom. They don't do that. Minhagim which are not accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael, only by groups, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, they come from this part of Europe, from Poland, or from Hungary, or from here, from there. Those types of minhagim which are local to communities, you do not qualify for a bracha. But something which is accepted, a custom that is accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael qualifies for custom. That means that Ner Chanukah is unique among all minhagim that has been accepted throughout the entire Klal Yisrael from one end to another. That's a major feat. Because we know today that to get two people in the same room to agree upon something is nearly impossible. Allah has kavakam for the entire Klal Yisrael. It's the great unifier. It's a very good chomer ledrush. How Chanukah is only Yom Tov that truly unifies the entire Klal Yisrael. Because it's not halacha, there's no makar for it, but everyone does it. The whole Klal Yisrael. Ad kedei kach, the whole Klal Yisrael does it. You can make a bracha. Even Chatzi Hallel, it's been accepted by all Ashkenazim, so we already penetrated to a certain degree where we make a bracha, Ashkenazim. Svardim, even Svardim is manazah, I mean, it depends. The Shatz makes the bracha, everyone answers. The different minhagim among the Svardim, but the Ramon Mechaber says, they say Hallel, right? But they say, right, but they say, oh, you're right, good point, they do say Hallel, so why would he not make the bracha? You're right, it's so good. But this is something, an idea I saw. Arava, so why don't you say Arava? Arava, he's taking the Arava on the Minig Nevi'im. So why there, the southern language has been accepted, the entire Klai Yisrael, why there do you have a bracha? It's a very good question, I don't know the answer. That's a real nail in this theory. I don't know the answer, very good question. What? We do make a Haftarah. Haftarah, that's already is not necessarily it could be it's more. Haftarah could be it's more of a the Haftarah, it could be it's more than it's a takana of Kriya. It's different. You're right. I'm not prepared to answer for good and full answer. Let's go for it. I do not want to run out of time. But now, what are the other ends? The other ends are more simplistic, which really don't have so many problems. Mm-hmm. One answer given is the difference between a minakal and a minakhomor. A minakal is where you're not doing very much. Arava is the classic example they cited. We all take arava on Hashanah Rabbah. Everyone takes an arava, you bump to buy the Hashanahs. Cost a lot of money today already. How much Hashanahs cost? $4, $5? And you go and you bang it 5 times in the ground, different customs, you bang it on the ground. That is called a minug kal. That's called a lightweight minug, because all you are doing is holding something in your hand and is banging on the ground. That is not a significant action. But a minug chomor, what is chomor? Halal. Halal is persume nisa. You are publicizing a miracle. That on the scale, big picture of things, is considered by Chazal a much more significant type of custom than just taking a willow and banging on the ground. A minuk chomor, reciting halal, persume nisa, that qualifies for bracha. Reciting halal. Halal is an expression of shiros v'sishbachos. That's serious business. That requires a lot of effort, a lot of mental attention than just taking a willow and banging on the ground. That's also in the category of a minug chomor and is upgraded to a degree where we do make a bracha. Now, among these two, we could understand the difference between halal, according to the opinion of the Mechaber, halal we do not make a bracha, but we do make a bracha on Chanukah. And the only way that we can explain that is given, as the commentators do explain, is that persume nisa is in a league by itself. Among the minhagim, which are chomor, they're also madregos. A miracle which publicizes a miracle, persume nisa, that is the ultimate. That is the ultimate type of minhag, and therefore even the Mechaber agrees that one does recite a bracha, whereas reciting a bracha for halal, according to the Mechaber, is not significant enough. Fine. That is one approach. Another very nice approach, a very simple approach, explains a lot of inyanim, is we'll give an example. Is a woman allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah that she is not obligated to do? For example, taking a lulav and ester, eating matzah. Women, well, matzah is different, because matzah is a drasha. But let's say take lulav and ester. A woman is not obligated to take the dalad minim, because mitzvah says shahazman grom. Clear, no less man the pollen. They have no obligation to take the lulav and the estruk. No obligation. I once met a woman. She told me she doesn't take lulav and estruk. Among her group, they don't do. Among her, she, which chassidus was her husband part of? I don't remember. She doesn't take lulav and estruk because by them the women don't do it. All right, to each his own. But women have no obligation. Mitzvah asay shahazman grama. Let's say a woman wants to take lulav yestruk, or as today they do. Do they make a bracha? Svaradim don't make a bracha. Right, that's the difference. But Ashkenaz, let's talk about Ashkenaz. Do Ashkenaz make a bracha? Does a woman make a bracha when she takes lulav yestruk? The answer is yes. Why? Because even though they're not obligated to do so, but they can.
They put themselves in the mitzvah.
Now let's contrast this with wearing a talis at night, or wearing a talis she'ula. Let's say you borrow from your friend a talis. It's not your talis, and you put on the talis. Do you make a bracha?
Depends.
No. What do you mean depends? She'ula. A talis, not a shul talis. A talis, a real shul, a borrowed talis.
For what purpose?
Any purpose.
Even for a kibbutz to go.
Even a kibbutz, it's borrowed. If it's borrowed, a shul talis is might be yours. You pay membership dues. It might be yours. But a borrowed talis, according to all opinions, you do not make a bracha. Why? Just because I'm not obligated, I want to be obligated, I want to make a bracha. Why, when I borrow a talis, am I different than a woman who makes a bracha when she takes the lulav yestruk? And the answer is...
You're going to
The answer is, no matter what, whatever you want to use it for, you want it to get warmth, whatever you want to use it for. The answer is because a talis shula is never, ever, ever chayiv in tzitzis. If it's not yours, you're out of the category, not for you, not for a woman, not for a child, not for an adult, doesn't make a difference. But dalad minim on sukkis is an object which men are making a brach on. So once there is a category, there is a segment of klal yisrael where the brach is recited, so it's no big deal if we allow it to overflow onto a woman who's not obligated. She also can make the bracha. But when you're in a category of something which is never in the chayiv in the bracha, you cannot make the bracha. So using that approach, it's not a perfect example. Using that approach, we can understand why halal. Halal is something which generally you do make a bracha when it's yom tif, when it's one of the chagim, when it's Pesach, Shol Shugolim. Do you recite Halal? Yes. Are you obligated to recite Halal? Yes. Do you make a bracha on the Halal? Yes. So now it's Rosh Chodesh. It's a semi-yomtif. We're going to say a Halal, a Chatzi Halal. It's only a custom. But being that the custom has precedence elsewhere where it's an obligation, then you do make a bracha. Contrast this with Arava. Do you ever have a mitzvah to take an arava alone and shake it and bang it? Never! It's something which has no precedent. There is no other application where an arava is being taken l'shem mitzvah, where now we can extend it into another setting and do it when you're not obligated to do only as a custom. Therefore, arava, you never make a bracha. Ner Chanukah, do you make a bracha ner Chanukah in your home? You certainly do. Everyone, Neri Shabeso. Now you want to make a light Neri Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses? So, but Beis HaKnesses is only a custom. There's no obligation to do so. Okay, we're going to do. It's a custom. But it's a custom that is an outgrowth of an obligation. Just like when it comes to Halal, we said Halal on Chanukah, on Rosh Chodesh, as an outgrowth of reciting Halal on the Moadim, and reciting Halal on the Moadim is an obligation where you make a bracha. Now we have a minor holiday, Rosh Chodesh. We're going to recite Halal as a custom. It's a custom, but it is built upon a foundation of where the reciting Halal is an obligation. Therefore, you can make a bracha. It's exactly the same thing with lighting Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. We're only lighting the Beis HaKnesses as an outgrowth of lighting the Chanukah candles at home. And at home, when we light the Chanukah candles, we make a bracha. So now, when we light the Beis HaKnesses as a custom, it's enough of a custom with a strong enough foundation where we can make the bracha in the Beis HaKnesses as well. Contrast that with the arava, waving an arava on the ground, or hitting on the ground, where never do you have an application where a bracha, there is an obligation. It's purely a minug nevi'im. It's nothing more than that. So that's another approach to explain why we do make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, now let's go to another reason why we make a bracha. Another reason, the very interesting reason why we light and we make a bracha. Because bisman hazeh, we don't really have an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah the way it should be done. We discussed this. The ikur location for Ner Chanukah is mi Pesach beisai mi bachutz. Why mi bachutz? Mishum persume nisa. The whole world should see, all the Jewish people should see the Ner Chanukah. Bizman hazeh, we don't light it bachutz. We light it inside. When we're lighting it inside, we are lacking in the persume nisa. For the Ner Chanukah, Ner Pesach, Ner Pesach beisai, our time has become for the Bnei Bayis. That's why some hold there's no need. You can put it on your table, your dining room table, or you put it inside on the right side of the Pesach Beisah. We discussed this, or in the Chaloyim. But the inyan of persume nisa bizman hazeh has been lost due to the environment that we find ourselves in. Therefore, to compensate for the persume nisa, we light it in the Beis HaKnesses. When you're lighting the Beis HaKnesses, that is a Rishus HaRabim. Everyone comes to the Beis HaKnesses. So the lighting of the Beis HaKnesses really is the Mibachutz that is lacking from our private lighting. So it is an obligation. Bizman Shabbos HaNeshayekayim, everyone was able to light Bachutz, then in a Chanami, to light the Beis HaKnesses would be a violation because we have fulfilled the mitzvah in its perfect form. You have Pesach Ner Ish Ubeisoy plus Persume Nisa. But Bizman Hazeh, we only have Ner Ish Ubeisoy. We don't have the Persume Nisa because we can't light outside. So to compensate for not lighting outside, we light in the Beis HaKnesses, and therefore we have to make a brach on this Persume Nisa. This is another very important approach.
Does that elevate the lighting of the shul to almost equal to Ner Ish?
According to this approach, yes. See, there are different approaches. According to this approach, we do not fulfill the persume nisa when we light the Ner Chanukah today at home. Because we live in a society where you can't light in the street. And even if you would light in the street, it's meaningless because people don't live in the street. People are indoor life, at least in America, where we are today. You don't have the ability to bring out the persume nisa as Chazal intended it should be done. So the next best thing to compensate is in the Beis HaKnesses, that's where everyone comes together. Yeah.
Why do you light shul in the morning?
Oh, I'm going to come to that. Very good. I'm going to come to that. That's what I really want to talk about the most today. I'll be there soon. I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to come back very soon. Okay, next. Another important inyan of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses.
Who's Pshat was the one you just mentioned?
Of, I don't know. I don't know the names. Everything is in the Paris Eliezer. A lot of these names, they're these Hasidisha Sfar I never heard of before. And it takes me half an hour to memorize. Mm-hmm. But you have to look at the source. Pardes Eliezer. Part of this is, it's he has like 10 volumes on Minhagim. It's incredible. Not even Chassidish. There's a lot of plenty of literature things. 40% of the Sefer is the Misnagdim. Misnagdim, not just the Chassidim. Okay, let's go further. Now something which made a very strong impression upon me. How many Neres do we light in the Beis HaKnesses? So, one of the earliest sources for the meaning of lighting the Beis HaKnesses comes from the Tshuvas HaGoinim. It goes back from the Goinim. We're dealing over here way, way back, before the Rishonim, because it's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Gemara. And it's not in the Amoraim, Tanoim Amoraim, but we have already a reference from the Goinim that they lit Neros Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses. And there was a Shaila that was presented to one of the Goinim. The question was, how many Neros should you light in the Beis HaKnesses? The Gemara says that in your bayis, you light one. Only have to light one, you have a large family. If you're blessed to have 20 children, how many do you light? One Ner. Ner Yishu Beisai. If you want to be Mahader, Ner l'cholecha d'yecha, like 20 Neros. You really want to go to town? B'shamay p'ichis v'holich, b'shilil moisif v'holich. What about in the Beis HaKnesses? How many Neros? So it's a fascinating tshuva. Tshuva's HaGoyim. The one that presented the Shaila said that what they're currently doing in the Beis HaKnesses, you wouldn't believe this, they light 16 Neros. Every night. What's 16? Listen to what it says. 8 on the left of the Aron and 8 on the right. Isn't that amazing? Every night. Because think about it. It makes a lot of sense. Think about it. How do we light? In the bayis, you only have to light one. You want to light more? L'chol echad v'echad. You want to light more, every member of your bayis, you can't skip steps. Remember, there's no such thing, let's clarify this point, there's no such thing as, we're one family, we have 20 members in our family, you know what? Only the Rosh HaBayis will light. The Bala Bayis. And he's going to light every night, Moisif HaHoylich, the first night, the one, the second night, two, the third night, three. That's, you can't do that. You're skipping steps. Before you have the hiddur of being Moisif HaHoylich, you first must have the hiddur of L'chol Echad V'Echad. So if you have 20 children, it's a much bigger, you can't have the Rosh HaBayis light one menorah of 8 candles. That's meaningless. Either light one for the whole bayis, or 20. If you, after 20, then you, every single one, if you can't do it the way it's meant to be done, don't do it. Who's asking you to do it? Do what it says in the Gemara. Go by, you have to follow the rules. The rules are one. After one, l'chol echad v'echad. After l'chol echad, then every single member in the bayis will be ma'aseh v'alach. So now, follow the same rules in shul. You have a shul, 50 members. 50 members come to ma'ariv. Just like one there. Oh, you want to be mahader. Oh, very nice. So what are the next steps?
50.
Light 50 neros. You want to do Mahadrim and Amahadrim?
Everybody lights.
If it's the second Ad Chanukah?
Everybody.
100 Neros. The third Ad Chanukah? 150 Neros. Those are the rules. You got to follow the rules. So this person presented the Shal to them, what should we do in the Beis HaKnesses? Let me tell you what we're doing now. What we're doing now is, we light 16 every single night. Because Chanukah, there are 8 days of Chanukah, and it looks funny that when the shul you put only a ner on one side of the shul. It has to be
symmetrical.
You have to bring in an interior decorator. has to be symmetrical, so we light 8 on one side of the Aron, 8 on the other side. This was presented to one of the Goyim. So he responded, I don't like what you're doing. I don't think it's the right thing to do. What I think you should do is as follows. It's fascinating what he says. It's an amazing insight which totally blew my mind and shows how far we are removed from what used to be. He says, look, you can't...
Which garb was it?
One of the goyim. I don't know the name of the goyim. He brings out Shuvas HaGoyim, the Shuvas HaGoyim, they have it over here.
Unnamed.
Mahadura Oipak. It doesn't have a name. There is no name. It just brings out Mitshuvas HaGoyim HaChadoshos Mahaduras Oipak.
New generation.
A collection of various goyim recorded from that time. So he says the best thing to do is, he says you can't light ner l'chol echad v'yach. It's not practical, right? It's not practical. You're gonna go light 50 neros. You're gonna light every single night. So you know what the best thing to do is? Just light moisif v'hoylach. Like we do in shul, light moisif v'hoylach. You light the first night one ner, the second night two neros. Even though in the chanam you acknowledge you're skipping steps. But then he says, you know, the shul always has to be one step nicer than what you do in the home. If your home costs $1 million, then your shul has to at least be worth $1.1 million. And if you have 50 members, everyone has to pull the money together. So the shuls today should be paved with gold. The shuls always have to be nicer than the private dwellings. So therefore, he says, if you're going to light in shul, moisif v'hoylech, it's not their cheretz, then you should do the same thing in your home. So Mimela, since it's become the time of the Gemara, listen to this, this is awesome. The Goinim, this is, goes the earliest source. Since Medina the Gemara, there's no such thing as lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. It did not exist. Mitzvahs ner Chanukah, ner ish u beisoy. And the bias you light mibachutz to fulfill the Pursumei Nisa. This is unheard of. It's a foreign concept to light in the Beis HaKnesses. It's nonsense. You get everything in by lighting ner ish pesach beis mibachutz. But b'zman hazeh, the goyim already, after the Amoraim already, we have no choice. We have to light in the Beis HaKnesses because Pursumei Nisa. So let's reserve the ultimate hidur of moisif v'hoylach to the Beis HaKnesses. Only in the Beis HaKnesses is it going to be the second night 2, the third night 3, the fourth night 4, and 8. But at home, you can't, what do you think, you're better than we do in the shul? Ner l'chol echad v'echad, and that's it. Isn't that amazing?
We don't do that
in the bias, everyone lights just one there, and where is the hidur, the yoifi? In the Beis HaKnesses, that's where we're moisif v'hoylach. Beautiful idea. Obviously, I don't have to tell you that we don't do that. But doesn't it make sense?
Yeah.
Isn't there something to it? Isn't it an insight of how, the goyim of how this minig evolved? It's an incredible thing. Now, Derech Hag, by the way, why did they not line the Beis HaKnesses? I told you one reason, because in the Beis HaKnesses, they told you the idea of the presumini, so that they used to light ner ishu beisa bibachutz presumini, so you don't need the presumini the Beis HaKnesses. But there's another reason why, a very practical reason, that in time of the Gemara they never daven ma'ariv at night when it was dark. Well, when they did, it was very rare. It was in the street there. That's why they added in Baruch Hashem l'ilum amin v'yomid. Friday night we have Magin Avos. It appears that it was very rare for them to daven ma'ariv in the proper zman of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is at night, the first half an hour when it gets dark. They daven ma'ariv early, even plag mincha. They daven ma'ariv before the sun set. There was no one in the Beis HaKnesses during the time when you would light Ner Chanukah, because that wasn't the way society was set up. The Beit HaKnesses were out in the fields, and it was dangerous to travel there at night, and whoever was there was a yechid. Yechidim went to daven late at night in the fields. The hamoinam either would daven ma'ariv privately in their home, or would daven ma'ariv in the Beis HaKnesses after plag mincha, when the sun is still shining, and it did not exist, this concept, to be in the Beis HaKnesses when it's dark, when it's night, when it's the zman of hadlakas neros. So It wasn't even an issue to light in the Beis HaKnesset. It's only later in the time of the Goyim, then there's another approach when people would begin to go to Beis HaKnesset at night. They brought the Batek and the Seos into the cities, into their living quarters, and then they did David when it was Mamash Vaday Laila, so then it became an issue. Maybe we should also light Halakas Neris. That's another side issue. But it's a fascinating Shuvas HaGoyim into the thing. The Beis HaKnesset always has to be one Madrega more than the bias, and we differentiate between your personal bias and the Beis HaKnesset. Now, running out of time, I have to do another session. So let me just tell you something which is extremely bizarre.
If everybody walks out of the shul,
you have to daven. People go. Leave.
So we discussed this last time. The Nechanam, that's why you don't have a shiur of 30. You don't have to wait 30 minutes. Mikra Hadin, we discussed last time. Mikra Hadin, you should really wait 30 minutes. So it's discussed at great length in the Beis HaKnesset. Do you need to wait 30 minutes? In the bias, you're learning from the B'nai Rishu Saram, so they can tarry in the street for 30 minutes. But if this custom came to be to land the Beis HaKnesset and you're leaving 10 minutes after you light, you daven very quickly, so there's no one here to see the neiros. You don't put it by chaloin pesach beso. So einoch nami. Many poskim say you don't have to wait 30 minutes. It's the exception. It's a minuk. It's a whole different type of lining. You light for 15 minutes. You can blow it out. You're finished. What's the purpose in waiting around? However, others, you don't see that today. Today it seems that it's only a few more minutes. The daven mincha marav. By the time you finish, already 25 minutes. Another 5 minutes. It appears today that the minhag ha'olam is to wait, even the Beis HaKnesset, to wait a half an hour. Why? I don't know. But that's what appears to be the minhag. Okay, one more thing. We'll have to maybe do more tomorrow, but lighting during the day. But one more thing is, this is the most bizarre thing I ever saw. This is bizarre as it gets. It appears that it's not done today, but it's recorded, and he has it has at least 2 pages on this, I think. He has sources. It was done. He even brings down from the Baba of a Rebbe. It was discussed with him. There used to be this bizarre minhag that in the Beis HaKnesset, when the shamash or the shatz would go up to light near Chanukah, all the nights of Chanukah, the people in the Beis HaKnesset, and specifically the children, would throw towels at the Chazan HaKnesset or the Shatz or the Shamash to prevent him or to harass him as he would ascend the Bima to light near Chanukah. They would throw towels, specifically towels. And then one thing led to another, they threw other things.
What?
And this was, it's recorded, it is a fact. This was done. It was done for generations, and then it appears that it got out of hand. They got carried away, became a joke, and then all the biggest rebbes, each one individually, said, "Just forget about it." And it came to an end, and it does not appear that it's done today at all. The only similar parallel we have to this, I discussed this with you, was on Tisha B'Av. There used to be a custom. This is well recorded. Same exact. There's even bit more. There's more source for this. That on Tisha B'Av, they used to also make jokes. Children would make jokes on Tisha B'Av and throw things. They would throw things at the adults. Throw things at the one who's learning Eicha. Would make a letzonis out of the whole Tisha B'Av.
Yes, you're going to get the kids or something.
That was in the Gemara. That was the Tztoki. They wanted to kill him because he was a Tztoki. He wasn't from the Prushim. But so we discuss on Tisha B'Av. We discuss where we are come from. So I once told you. Someone told me the reason was because it is that years ago in Yerushalayim, people would literally die due to the depression, due to the Churban of Yerushalayim. The Avdelus was so intense, people would pass out and die. So they had to do something, Bikuach Nefesh, so they were massacring entertainment. Can you imagine what you think? And Minigava Sengu Biyodeinu, it lasted, this is what someone told me, is it true, not true? I don't know. Then I heard from, I told you, what I heard a shir, an entire shir from Rav J.J. Schachter. He must have spent 2 hours on this, and he cited all of the sources, an incredible, incredible research project that he, amount of time he put into this, where he showed that it's that Tisha B'Av is a bittersweet day. It's a day of mourning. So they have mourning, obviously, but it's also they have celebration. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He allowed us to survive by pouring out His anger on Eitzim Va'avanim. It says, one of the Mizmar Mithils, Mizmar LeDavid, Bohu Goyim Benachalas. One of the Mizmar Mithilim is Mizmar LeYasaf. How does it go? Bohu benachlasach. So what is the Gemara? Mizmar leasaf, kina leasaf mi bayulei. And what is the Gemara answer? That it's a mizmar that Hashem poured out His anger on Eitzim va'avadim and allowed Klal Yisrael to survive. So it is a day of simcha. And the balance was the adults would mourn, deeply mourn, and the children would make light. Would play around and make jokes and throw things, and that was a very healthy balance. What happened? We were unable to maintain this balance, and it turned into a joke. Everything, the adults were affected by the children, and the balance was tilted towards the joking, not towards the avelus. It got out of hand, and all of the gedolei hador, all of them said, we're not on a madrega to properly balance this delicate simcha with avelus, and forget it, mikanul habak, cut it out, no more, only avelus. Okay, so that's well documented and studied in detail what it's all about, this ancient custom of making jokes on Tisha B'Av. But this is as bizarre as it gets. Yeah. That on Chanukah, when the Shaliach Tzibur goes up to light Ner Chanukah, the children would throw towels? Is as bizarre as it gets. Mm-hmm. So what is that? One answer he suggests, he doesn't have any answer, but he doesn't have any good answer, but he says one answer, I think he says, because he wants to show that it's only a minuk. That it's not so, since it's very, very difficult, why do we make a bracha? You want to go light Ner Chanukah, the Beis HaKnesses, okay, but to make a bracha, don't let him get away with it so easily. We'll let you make the bracha. When the day is over, you'll make the bracha on the Ner Chanukah. But it has to be with a protest. Because there's no mikar anywhere in Chazal that you should be permitted to make the bracha on the Beis HaKnesses on Ner Chanukah, and every single person is lighting in his home Pesach Yishu Beiso. So it should be done with protest. And the protest is, don't let the shots go up to the bima just to walk up. Throw him a towel. Make it hard for him. That's one approach. Okay, that. But one other approach, I want to say my own drush. This is a wild drush. And I get a lot of trouble saying this, but I'm not afraid. Is that going through, reading through all of the zinyanim of Chanukah, and there are a billion remazim. Always refer in all of the halachic literature relating to Chanukah. Chanukah is always abbreviated Nun Ches. Always Nun Ches. What's Nun Ches? Ner Chanukah. Nun Ches. What is Nun Ches? Noach. Noach Ish Tzadik. Tamim Haya B'day Reisav. Ner Chanukah. Al Derech Drush has a relationship to Noach. Noach, Nun Ches, Ner Chanukah. This is the way it's written. What does it say about Noach? Noach came out of the Teva, Vayud v'in Noach, Hayetz v'in HaTeva, Vayochel Noach Ishu Adam, Vayita Kor, he planted a vineyard. Vayesh v'in HaYayin, Vayishkor, Vayiskal, he was exposed. He took off all his clothing. Besoich Oholo in his tent. Vayar Chom Avikanan, along comes Chom Avikanan, he sees Eis Ervas Aviv Vayagel L'Shnei Echo Bachut Vayikach Shem V'Yefes. Shem V'Yefes. Who's Shem V'Yefes? Where does Klai Yisrael come from?
Shem.
Where does Yavon come from?
Yefes.
What is the holy Nitzachon of Chanukah? Yaftu L'Kim L'Yefes Nitzachon of Chanukah. We Nitzachon, I heard this best Sunday, Rabbi Shur, I heard, we're going to give a shir. The holy need of Nitzachon doesn't just mean you prevail. You incorporate. You swallow up. You take it within you. The whole idea of Chanukah is we absorbed Yavon within us. We took all of their milus and we absorbed it within Klal Yisrael. Here they come together. Vayikach Shem V'Yefes Es Hasimla. And what to do with the Simla? Vayasimu al Shechem Shnehem Vayelchu Achoranes Vayichasu Es Ervas Avihem Upneim Achoranes of Ervas Avim Loiro. They covered the erva of Noach. What's the minhag? The minhag is very clear. Towels, clothing. One of the reasons why one of the big rabbis put an end to this minhag was one of the chassidim got so carried away, he took the talus. He took the talus of the shul and he threw it. The talus shel nitzah. So when this rebbe, he saw they're so b'shuga, they're getting so carried away, now they're taking towels. They even took the talus, no more. It's out of hand, putting the end to it. But the meaning is to take clothing. Ner Chanukah is Noach. And Noach made a fatal mistake when he came out, when the teva was Vayochel Noach Ish, he was Oisik in Yoni Choyl, instead of being Oisik in Yoni Kodesh. He failed to be Mekadesh the Choyl. Memela, his disgrace was he was Orum and he needed to be covered by Shem V'Yefes. And what was the bracha? The bracha given was Vayeda Isa Shasa Allah Binoy Hakatan Vayema Oru Canaan was cursed. And then Vayom Hashem Baruch Elokei Shem the Elokei Shem Yaft Elokim Liyefes VeYishkol Lohav Ol Shem. All of the Ramos of Chanukah are all hidden right here, and Chanukah is Nun Ches Ner Chanukah. And to a certain degree, we come to Chanukah, we come into a new tkufa. It's like it's the Gemar of the Yimei Hadin. That's all brought down in many Svarim, that the Kvitel the Chasima is not over until Chanukah. When Chanukah is over, it's like we're coming out of the, when we come to Chanukah, we're coming out of the Teva. It's finally the end of the Yimei Hadin, end of Tkufa, and now the Chasima is here, we now come upon the world, and now we have a new opportunity. And how do we deal with the opportunity? Are we Mekadesh the Chol? Or do we let the Chol get a hold of us and we slide like Noach slid, Vayochel Noach Ishu Adama? So we are faced with a similar nisoyon as Noach, and we have to be careful not to fall into the same trap. And the way we remind ourselves of this is the reenactment of Yikover Noach. The person here is on the way to light the Ner Chanukah. He's the Shatz. This is the Beis HaKnesses. This is the Spitz Ner Chanukah. And what do? We cover him with a simla. We throw towels on him. Don't make that same mistake. Let it not be Vayochel Noach Ishu Adam. Perhaps this is some slight remnant in this ancient minhag, which is no longer in practice, appears anywhere in the world anymore, but it was definitely done for many generations. Bizarre, not explained. And we do have a remnant, perhaps, to explain a little bit what it can possibly have been about. Okay, we'll stop here. What?